greetings to each one of you this morning here again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, who is endued with wisdom? Sometimes I think we, by the time we think that we have wisdom, something gives us a good sit down and realize that that was foolish anyways, or something like that maybe, but challenge each and every day. But I think that the key there was, if we ask, then God is able to will give us and show us what is good, what is evil, what is needed for each and every one of us each day. Just opening a couple verses in John chapter 12, verse 26 is one of the key verses. I want to go back a little bit before that. This is where they were calling some of the disciples to Jesus. And in verse 22, it says, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said an angel spoke unto him. So back to verse 26, what he's telling us here. So just thinking about these words, and we was reading in Proverbs, but how much wisdom is in those couple verses right there? You know, in giving the example of, we understand how a seed is put in the ground and it dies and it rots, you could say, and out of that deterioration comes new life. And, you know, except, you know, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it brings forth fruit. And if we love our life, we will lose it. We hate this life of this world that our flesh and blood is consisted of. We shall keep it unto life eternal. But verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, in life, I don't know, I've not been professionally instructed, you could say, in any way, in this, but in sports or in any game that we are playing or in part of, there's movements and there's positions and there's plays. So they would call it a playbook, right? Hadassah, you have a playbook for basketball? Have you read it? So it's just for the coaches. Okay. So, and the coaches, it's important that you know your position, right? What is your position? Post. I don't even know what that means, but I guess you're supposed to get under the basket and post up and grab the rebound. Keep it from getting close. Would that be a post? You block people out. They can't come in. It's important that we know our position. Like in basketball, I just did a bit of coaching in my years of teaching, whatever, and it was because we wanted to win the games against the other schools, especially when we played. And so I would watch the game and teach the boys a little bit here and there, but I never necessarily had a playbook because I don't know all the moves. I mean, I didn't assign anybody being you know, the guard, and the other one is point guard or whatever the names, all the positions, all the names. I don't even know that. I never studied it, but I just know if I wanted to win, play basketball, I could coach them and tell them, you know, some plays and things to make. And I would, so just to expound on that maybe just a little bit, I would always, and sometimes you can do that, you know, physically matching up who you're going to guard. And sometimes you do it, sometimes you would do it mentally too. You know, you take their, you find out who their best player is, and in the change of the game sometimes I would tell two guys to guard him. Not foul him, but just frustrate him. Just stick to him like a fly and get him frustrated. When he gets frustrated, he's not going to make shots. He's not going to do what he's potential to do. You just mess him up. You know, I would tell him plays like that. That sounded kind of mean, maybe. I wasn't very nice, but we wanted to win the ball game, right? We wanted to follow the plays. Or I would also, with five people on the team, not always the same person, but I would tell one person, when he comes down court, if they're proceeding towards their goal, that he can come down to the halfway mark in the court, and then he needs to just hang back, okay? And let the other four people just kind of block out and do what they can. And the goal was, everybody on his team knew that one person was hanging back. And if they got the rebound, he was supposed to be heading to the other court, and all they really had to do was not even look, but toss that ball over that center court down where he can get a hold of it, and he can go down wide open and make a goal. Boom. Simple. We get 2 points. Nobody's prepared for that. And I'd not use the same guy, so it would always mess up a little bit which guy was going to be hanging back. And a couple of plays, we'd change off. It's like, okay, your turn. You stay behind the center line. You know, never come down past, and then you're ready to go the goal. As soon as we get the ball, all we need to do is pass it to you, and you can make it. And we won a lot of ball games. Just a couple little strides. So, how does that fit into with what 26 is saying here? You know, if they followed my instructions, if they listened to me, you know, we had the honor of winning a ball game in that sense. And, you know, it was just they worked together. So in Christ and in okay, let me back up this. I wrote this note in here. You know, if there's 8 billion people in this world today, God has a lot of options, not, you could say. But he put you exactly where you are today. He chose you to be exactly where you are today. God chose you. Now the question is, will you choose you? Will you choose you? Like God has chosen you. So in Christ, the scripture tells us we have ministries, we have gifts, we have talents, we have callings. It speaks of a lot of those, and we have a destiny to fulfill. We were called for a time and a place like this, each and every one of us, just as Esther was. And are you in position? Are you in the post position? Are you in the point guard position? Are you in the place where those things can be, those fulfillments come? And so when God hands you the ball, so to speak, or you get passed to, are you ready? Will you take that challenge on? Will you fulfill what he has called you on? Because if you do, according to verse 26, it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's what God loves. So I think in this sense, you could say, like, there's playbooks for football, you know, baseball, basketball. And I mean, I see when you watch a game or whatever, you see the coaches and they'll draw out a circle here and they'll put X, 1, 2, 3, or 4 in places, and they show this, and then they're supposed to go out and try to execute that on the court. So I believe God also has a playbook for each and every one of our lives, and I don't know what that all looks like for you. I'm not even sure if I know exactly what it all looks like for me, except I have to first have a desire So like if you're not playing Hadassah and you're sitting on the bench, right? You get time to be on the bench. And then the coach says, get in there, let's go. Are you ready to do that? Or you just want, nah, let me stay here. I don't want to get in. Nah, I don't want to, you know. It's the same thing. So when I'm using that as an example, you have a desire to get up off the bench? You want to go for it? Are you willing just to sit there and watch everybody else play? You know, everybody else have all the fun? Or do we want to participate in when God moves us? We know that, you know, that's all up to us, each and every one of us. We need to move. So I think first, to just share a little more, you know, we need to know who we are in Christ. We've been to Peter, 2 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us that as a that we can claim. Know what you're capable. You know, sometimes we limit ourselves, but if we are in Christ, where's the limitations? What are we actually capable of? What is God able to do through each and every one of us that we're capable of in Christ? We know the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer, and you know the faith and the step that he took out there. You know, Jonathan, he stepped out in faith based on what he knew that God was able and capable of doing. And it followed through. You know, he knew his position and what he could accomplish from that. We're told in scriptures in Romans, I don't have all these verses, but in Romans 8, you know, 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 2 Corinthians 2, he always leads us in triumph. He's the one that gives us the victory. Philippians 4:13, we know that verse. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. the things that we can do, you could say, for the Lord are based on knowing our position and knowing the things that Christ, that he promises us and that he gives to us. And our limitations are our own self wanting to just sit on the bench without getting out. Because the field is open. You know, he tells us that the fields are white, the harvest is ready. We read that throughout Revelations. So what is, you know, as God created and chosen us, chosen his people for a purpose, for a time and a place like this, we find scripture that gives us insights into that. I think this is universal. Everyone might have the uniqueness of our calling and abilities and talents that we have also. But he did this in 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved you. He saved us and he called us with a holy calling, it says. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before time began. So know that God has a game plan for you, for me, for each and every one of us. And he also knows the end results of that game plan. He already knows that. We can trust it. We can put our faith in that. His purpose, his plan. So let's look at a few of these things that he tells us in scriptures, I guess, on that. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said he was going to build a church of which the gates of hell, or the authority of hell, could not prevail against it. His authority and his rule would be established within that church, within that body. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 says the earth shall be filled with his glory. Through his body, again, he's talking about the church. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Turn to Ephesians 4. We'll read several verses here. We're going to start in verse 11. This is coming from God's word overall that he has. It says in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. I can vividly remember when Glenn DeMoss pointed that verse out to me and asked me what I thought about it or what it's saying. And realized that as I was a teacher at that time, that not even thinking that that was my calling at all, but after that I felt like, yeah, I was called to teach here and here and for these years. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't even something that I meditate on like, oh, this is something I need to go out to do, you know. It started by simply just of the words telling my sister that, who was on the school board, when she told me about all the troubles that they were having in the school and the children disrespecting and, you know, all that. And I was like, what's so hard? I think I could do that. That's all I said. I think I could do that. And I got bombarded and I got hired and I taught school for 15 years. You know, was it all easy? No. But I didn't first look at it as even that's my calling. It was just something that, you know, I can look back and realize it's like, I think I had, you know, and when she pointed that out, it's like, maybe I have a calling, you know? And it's just a blessing to recognize that, you know, that it, at that time, I'm no longer there, you could say, in that sense. So was it false? No, it was for a season. It was for a time. It was for a place. And he goes on, he tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he tells us why in here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, you know, from the wisdom of man, you could say, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see the results of of why he give, why there are pastors, why there are teachers, why there are ministry, why there is, you know, is to edify and to bring things together and to strengthen and encourage one another. That's a purpose. I think that's a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, and we may have different gifts and talents even in those areas to help each other. So it's just simply so that Christ will be manifested through his body as a church, you know, as a witness and a testimony to the world. He also tells us in Matthew 24 that the gospel should be preached to all nations. It will be taken out there. 1 Timothy 3, his truth shall be established in the church, which is the pillar and the ground of all truth. In Joel, Old Testament, he shall have a great army that shall go forth reclaiming and restoring all that was lost in the fall of mankind. Referring back to, you know, to Adam and Eve, the sin. There was a day coming when Christ came for each and every one of us so the restoration could take place. Matthew 6, verse 10, we pray this. We've prayed it a lot within our lives. His kingdom come, His will be done, we say, on earth as it is in heaven. So there's, you know, His kingdom is, you are part of His kingdom right here today that is established on earth. Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. So let's let the purpose, let's let the perspective that God has for each and every one of us, let's let it fill our hearts. Let's learn, you could say, learn the plays, learn the moves, learn the things that God is giving to us. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here's what He says He gives you, may give you the spirit of wisdom. We were talking about wisdom this morning. And, you know, so this says it's a spirit of wisdom. There is, and revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Let that perspective fill us of what God's perspective is, what His view, what His vision, what He desires from each and every one of us. That we would have the eyes of our understanding open, would be open, so that we can see the hope of our calling. You know, I can look back. I don't know what all is in the future, you know, in a sense, but I can look back and I can see that if I look at that as was a calling for that my time at that time in that place, you know, that it brought me great joy, and I think it created a hope, helped establish my faith deeper and further. So everything about our hope that the Bible talks a lot about, the hope that we have and the calling that we have, is somehow connected to the purpose and to His will for each and every one of our lives on earth today. I believe that. you know, so in the games that we talk about, we're using sports as a basketball or football player, you know, takes some practice, doesn't it? It takes some spending time to get to know the game, know your position. And the coaches would tell you, move here, do this, do that. And so you can execute it correctly. You know, get yourself in that place before the other person does. So we also must also, just the encouragement to spend time in God's Word, to spend time with Him, to meditate, to listen, to acknowledge. And so we're there. When He says move, we're in position to move. We can do that. So when opportunity comes, we're positioned for that. Daniel was there, you know, called for a time and a place in Daniel's life. And he says in chapter 11, there's a verse here that says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Carry out, that's a different translation, but they will carry out the things that God gives them to do because He's the one that strengthens them. You know, how did Daniel have the strength? He kept facing his enemy that was seeking to destroy him. And even the mouth of the lion couldn't touch him. He was there. David and Goliath, you know. If you read the story, then you can see back and you can see how God moved him in those positions to get to that point where he picked up the stones, you know, as he was on his way. He was ready to face that. He did face it. And what happened? You know, the giant fell. You know, this Philistine said, who are you as a dog coming to me? How can you defy, you know, the armies of all they were? Who is this Philistine that he should, David said that, yeah. Who is this Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? So, is all this just a cakewalk that I'm sharing? No, I don't believe it is. Life is real. Life is a journey. And lots of times our faith is tested. But do we believe that all things are possible through Christ? In the midst of any difficulties, let's look at Mark chapter 9. We'll read a story here, I guess, a little bit as an example. Let's read from, let's see, there's a couple of these parables in here. Okay, we're going to start in verse 17. this one came to the master, and he had a son that was that was troubled. They called it a dumb spirit, I guess, if that's it, the devil, the enemy. But verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. 19. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing and foaming. I've never seen anybody end up in that condition or whatever, but if you can build a picture in your mind, it would not be pleasant, would it? If that was your son, if that was your anything, you know, in that sense, or even if it wasn't your son, just to see it. And then he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Like, it's been a long time. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, here's 23, I think this is the key verse for us today. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And he said, help thou mine unbelief. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong in that request, in that cry right there. You know, just help, strengthen me, help my unbelief. Because sometimes I just can't see. I just can't find my way. I just don't know what the end results are going to be. But verse 25, and when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? You know, what was wrong? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. 29. So back to verse 23, as we look at the examples of Daniel, we look at the example of David, we look at the examples of Josh, of Moses, you know, Esther, of many, many examples throughout. We look at the examples of Paul, and we look at examples of Peter, and, you know, the many times that they are also was as human as we were and failed and messed up and denied, and yet that faith and that belief they had was unshakable. And yet they were shaken many times. I mean, even Jesus was, talking to that. He was telling Peter that he would shake him until all those things that could be removed was removed from him. And there was lots of things, and there may be perspectives and ideas and things that need to be shaken out of, out of our lives. And yet we can use that verse 24, as that father cried out, I believe, the position that he was in and the place he was in and the heartfeltness of that child, seeing that child that way from child on up. And I would say this guy was a adult, a young adult, or maybe middle-aged even. He said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. have this heart of faith. Have this even, there's a sense of expectancy in that verse that the words that he's using there, there's a sense of expectancy. I think that it's, I believe that it's going to happen. You could think that was in a sense, like everything that took place there, a supernatural thing, in front of all those people. Yet it's a proof and evidence that God does move people and change people supernaturally today, just as well as he did back then. they were these words are for me as much as they are for you, I guess. If we, I use this as an example. If we look at you've probably all seen football games or watched football games, right? You know that when they are, what does the field look like when they're ready to punt the ball and take off? What does it look like? And you know what it looks like? It's pictured. What does that line look like? Are they kind of just like, how are they? No, they're down like this, on their hands and knees, are hunched over, all intent, they know every move, they know who they're going to block, who they're going to tackle, and where they're going to take off. And when the ball goes, they hit it, and they hit hard. I don't want to play football, but they hit hard. They're not standing there with just their arms folded. They're ready to go. So they're hunched over, they're aggressive, they're acutely waiting for the move, So I look at this, relating back to this verse of this father, I don't think he was just standing there half-heartedly either when he said this. I envision the picture. This man was probably on his knees with his hands held high. I guess that's what I want to relate to. May we spend more time on our knees with uplifted hands in expectation of God calling the shots, telling us ready to move. Of God calling the plays, I guess. So there's divine appointments. There's things that God wants to bring our way or to show us. And if we're just standing around with our heads in the cloud, so to speak, and not armed with the things that he tells us about, the the peace and the love and the things that we said that come from the wisdom that comes from above, with those things, then I think the divine appointments will probably just pass us by. And even if we're just saying, waiting for God to use me, waiting for God to use me, I don't think that position is armed and ready to tackle and take on the thing that God puts in our path. And with all that, we know that in that line of scrimmage, if we're relating to football, that some of them players are going to get hurt, right? They're going to get knocked down. They're probably going to even get their breath knocked out of them. A lot of them end up with concussions, even though they wear helmets. They're going to get set back and knocked down, and God's people, the same thing can happen. We can also be ready and put our hands to the grindstone, so to speak, and whatever, and say, like, this is what God wants, and I'm going to do it. and then boom, we can be flattened. It can happen. Most athletes will get hurt at some point in time. Most of them will have to have physical therapy. So going through life is just bringing this to, in this, there's trials. There's things that want to steal our passion. There's things that want to take our joy from us. We may lose our position. We may lose a sense of purpose or even what is my destiny. But I think I shared enough in what God wants from us is asking for humanity. You know, are we willing to finish the race? Do we want to be overcomers? Do we just settle into existence and let someone else fight it for us? Paul said that, you know, he fought a good fight. He laid a hold of eternal life. Therefore, there was a crown laid up for him, waiting for him. And not only for him, but all those who look forward to his coming. He tells us that. You know, Paul got banged up a lot. How many times was he stoned? How many times was he whipped? How many times was he left for dead? And yet he stood up and he continued to press on. He continued the race, without losing his perspective and passion, because he knew that God's calling was higher. May that help us. We think about Peter's example. He was wallowing in misery at times in his life, sulking, denied the Lord 3 times. And even Jesus Christ was looking right at him. They were face to face. It wasn't like just around the back or something, or he heard about it. They were face to face, it tells us. He was looking at him when he denied him. And when the third time happened, when Peter recognized it, what did he do? You know, he fell on his face and he wept. And, you know, God restored him. It was a restoration to him. But he was also in position, thinking about just using it as an example, he was also in position when God was needing him and using him to build the body, build the church. So, he brought in at Pentecost there, you could say, and the preaching of that. When Peter stood up in front of the people and he told them that they're not drunk with wine, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We know the story there in Acts. And what happened? 3,000 people were baptized or were joined to the church. He was in that position. He was, all these things that happened previously to him and the denial and all that was getting him that he kept on. You know, he stood up against the religious leaders and their persecution and their mockery that they had him. He was delivered from the prison. Angels opened the doors for him. People were healed by just coming in contact with his shadow. He was the first of the disciples that raised someone from the dead. So he was there. He was used and he was in position. He brought the Gentile believers into the church. He ushered in that because he was crucified upside down for his testimony at the end of his life. But he also says he finished his course with faith, compassion, he was faithful. So may we continue to also fight that good fight of faith and not let discouragements and defeats and changes, things that happen, let us take away our joy. So I just want to close with Hebrews 12:12-13. Encouragement to each and every one of us, I guess. He says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Lift each other up. And the feeble knees, it says. Make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather that we all be healed. God is wanting to do things in our life. I know that he does. I know that he wants to continue. So let us put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the gospel of peace and that armor of light, and let us be about our Father's business. let's not be standing around lackadaisical and just thinking, well, I'm waiting for God to use me, because I think he's using each and every one of you in our daily lives And we just sometimes don't see it. We don't feel it. We don't see it. And then, but tomorrow we wake up. I was, what is the song I listened to the last several mornings or whatever. It's just I can't even say who sings it. But Lord, this is going to be a good day. I guess that's the words. Then each and every day that we have, you can say, we have breath, we have life, and, you know, this day will be good. So I'm open for sharing your testimony. I'll just close with that prayer request.